The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app.
Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. O Davinu Chai, O Davinu Chai.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. The big news, of course, has been Hurricane Sandy, so we'll have in this half hour of the show Rabbi Levi Gerkov, who is a Chabad rabbi in Long Island, who's in to talk about in the middle of things. He's actually going, he told me that he's going to stop in helping with the cleanup in order to help do the interview today. We've got lots of Jewish music. The portion of the week is the portion of Chaya Sora, and discusses the life of Sarah. So continue with the good biblical story stuff. We got hopefully time for a great Hasidic story. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Hamas admitted to firing 18 rockets into southern Israel last night. The rocket barrage was in retaliation for two IDF airstrikes in Gaza. No injuries were reported in either strike. The Israeli, we've been hearing a lot in the debates and whatnot about the joint military exercises between the United States and Israel, but the Israeli and Greek air forces concluded a two-day joint exercise. F-16I fighter pilots from both armies practiced dogfights, bomb raids, and long-term aerial refueling. A charter flight carrying approximately 240 new immigrants from Ethiopia will be arriving in Israel tomorrow. The flight is the first of a series of monthly flights planned as a part of Operation Dove's Wings, a government initiative to speed up the pace of Aliyah and bring the remainder of the Ethiopian Jewish community back to Israel. French officials will exhume former Palestinian Authority chairman Yasser Arafat's body from his Ramallah grave to try to discover the cause of his death. France opened a murder inquiry into Arafat's death after his family launched a claim that he died from radioactive plutonium poisoning. Juan Carlos Emden, the grandson of a wealthy Jewish businessman Max Emden, is demanding that the Swiss Burler Foundation return a Monet painting called Poppy Field near Vethul that the family was forced to sell for a fraction of its value when they were forced to flee Europe during World War II. The painting is estimated to be worth close to $27 million. Chish, this is your people thinking about going to Israel. This is the ones you got to contact. Chish Naufei Yisrael Limited will sponsor a three-day housing fair this week in Brooklyn, Muncie, and Los Angeles. The upcoming fair is geared to sell high-end villas and apartments in suburban Jerusalem. I'm going on their website, the Naufei Israel website. Some of these places like hoo-ha. Anyway, and finally, this is sort of like, it's unfortunate, but we always put some kind of unusual story at the end. Jewish farmer Avram Herzlich suffered a huge blow last Friday morning with the loss of a herd of 400 goats. The goats were taken from Givat Hayekov, the temporary housing site for the residents of the destroyed Jewish community of Migrom. Police and military units responded to reports that the theft and began searching the nearby Arab town of Michmas and Bedouin tents in the area. However, police now believe that the thieves came from outside the region and brought trucks with them that they used to spirit away the goats. And that's the news.
You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering are the only kosher caterers in Southeast Michigan to offer both dairy and glatt kosher menus. Now offering wedding packages starting at just $40 a person. Think of Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering for your next bar or bat mitzvah. Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering will take care of all of your tray catering and shiva trays as well. Impressive food and exceptional service will keep you coming back again and again. Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering will cater your event at your favorite location, and on-premise catering is available at Adat Shalom and the JCC. Call today, 248-661-2327. That's 661-2327. And make your affair an affair to remember.
Bill Finman here. You're listening to Jewish Hour. As I said, our guest today will be Rabbi Levi Gurkov. And he told me that he actually has spotty cell phone coverage. So we're going to keep trying. In the meantime, we're going to kind of switch things around a little bit over here. We're going to do a little music for you. This is the Yeshiva Boys Choir. We got that queued up. We have to get the my trusty soundboard operator, Benjamin. This is Amen, and this is just for you. Let's listen in.
At a point in life where you just can't seem to accomplish what you have set out to do? Have you accepted low energy, weight gain, and feeling overwhelmed as a part of your life? The ancient Ayurvedic method of well-being, combined with proven scientific methods of change, will make you feel energetic, focused, and fit. Hi, I'm Lisa Cohn, and I learned how to feel better close to 10 years ago. If you are ready to help yourself, you can count on me to be there for you in a simple approach to guide you to success. The holistic traditions of Ayurveda will show you how to prevent illness and strengthen your health with natural, simple lifestyle habits. You will feel empowered to manage not just your health, but also your life. Call me, Lisa Cohn, certified Ayurvedic health practitioner and health coach, at 248-613-1804. 613-1804. And visit my website at lisacohnayurveda.com.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have on live Rabbi Benji Silverman, who's a Chabad rabbi in Westchester County, who's dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. How are you today, Rabbi Silverman?
Good, thank God.
Good to hear.
I'm honored to be on with you.
Thank you for taking out some of your time. I know that there's the last thing you were thinking about doing was actually a radio interview, so I'm glad that you actually be able to take some of the time right now. Tell us, first of all, tell us, where exactly are you located?
A little village called Dobbs Ferry, which is right on the Hudson River in Westchester County. It's around a 10-minute drive from New York City, from Manhattan.
Okay. And so you're on the Hudson River, and we've heard about the ocean and whatnot. So what happened with the Hudson River during the Hurricane Sandy?
So the Hudson River did overflow into the parks and the railroad stations in the area. Fortunately, most of Westchester County, on this side at least, on the east side, is above water level, so there was less flooding here. But I know even 12 or 18 hours before the storm, my kids and I were down by the water, and we already saw it over, going over the walls.
Well, it was pretty horrific then, I suppose.
It definitely was. We were very fortunate that the damage here was a lot less than some of, in New York City and in Brooklyn, New Jersey, someplace in Long Island. Many, many people lost power and are still without power. No gas. There's a real gas shortage. Most people are kind of stranded because they cannot fill up their cars. The cars are empty. But obviously, that's minimal compared to some of the destruction in areas that are on the coast.
Understood. So what is it that Chabad of Dobbs Ferry is doing in helping with this disaster, Rabbi Benji Silverman?
Our first priority is our immediate community, to make sure that people living in this area have what they need. The first thing that came to mind, even during the storm, realizing that people would lose power, and we live on a main street with very few trees, so we usually retain power. I sent out an email already during the storm. If you lose power, you're welcome to come to Chabad. You can charge your phones, your laptops, anything you need, your hot drink, coffee, tea. And sure enough, the next day, the Chabad house was full of people working on their computers, contacting people, letting their relatives know that they're okay, recharging their cell phones, getting a hot drink. That was the first immediate thing. Then, as it became apparent that people would be without power for quite a while, they say even some people for 2-3 weeks, we started matching up people, those who don't have power, with those that do, so that they can find a place to stay that's warm. It's starting to get a bit cold.
Oh, that's
out.
An interesting concept of shidduchim here. We're going from...
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was. We made some shidduchim. We even arranged for a local gym to open up their showers, because many people without power don't have hot water. And the gym graciously opened the showers to the whole community so people can get a warm shower. We're hosting tonight a Shabbat dinner open to the whole community, free of charge, so that people can come get a nice hot Shabbat meal. So those are things that we're doing to help people feel comfortable. in the local area. Obviously, there are places, as I mentioned, that are harder hit. So on Sunday, we're going to take a team of volunteers out to Seagate in Brooklyn to help them just to get the pump the water out of the house, out of the houses, deliver food. I mean, there are real needs there that we can help with, and we plan on doing that on Sunday, God willing.
Wow, that's awesome. Are volunteers like that, like, it seems kind of shocking, not shocking to me, but surprising, that people can just volunteer for such things when you think you would need, like, trained, experienced emergency workers involved with that type of a thing, Rabbi Benji Silverman?
Good point. I think ultimately all you need is to care. If you care, you can get the job done. And people do care. I've been amazed at how many people have contacted me. How can we help? What can we do? Everyone wants to help. It's just a matter of getting the right people to the right place at the right time. But you don't need to be skilled to pump water out of a house or to go in there with your boots and help save some of the family's belongings. You don't need to be trained to deliver food. It's just a matter, really, of caring and going out there and getting the job done.
Are you noticing in among Jews, there's a certain Lanzmannschaft, there's a certain, like, brotherhood, a current that runs through among Jews. Are you seeing that, in that there's this idea of specifically Jewish organizations getting together, or is it more wide-reaching than that, Rabbi Silverman?
Jewish organizations reaching together. Where we are, it's a bit more limited. Apparently, a lot of these the local Jewish organizations still are out of power and are not really even operating. I have a brother-in-law that's a Chabad rabbi in Battery Park City, Lower Manhattan, and they were completely devastated. And there, I know that the local Jewish communities have banded together, Jewish organizations have banded together to help people there. So there definitely is some of that. But here's just more Jews caring for Jews. I've been amazed at people offering to open up their house. You know, they have no idea who they're going to get. But if anyone in the community needs a place to stay, we'll host them. And it's really been inspiring to watch that love.
Okay, that's terrific. We want to thank you so much for taking out, like, a couple of minutes and letting us know. And if anything major happens, maybe give us a call back and we'll get you back on again.
But okay.
Continued success.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-1818. Hi.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. There is something in a concept, it's a legal concept in Judaism, which is called chazaka. It comes from the word strength or establishment. The word means actually like to establish a precedent. It says that if you do something three times, good thing, whatever, and it establishes a precedent that you have to continue doing it. So it just so happens that the last 2 weeks, we played a song that was Sephardic in origin. Sephardic being from the Jews of primarily North Africa, Spain, from before the expulsion in 500 years ago, and the eastern part of the Middle East. So we're going to do a third song, this again week, but I don't want to establish any chazaka. So it says if you don't want to establish a chazaka, an establishment, a precedent, you have to say we're doing this, but we're not establishing a precedent. I'm not going to be playing a Sephardi song every week. Now, given that disclaimer, this song is by a group called Sephardi Florida, which is a group of, I suppose, Jews of Sephardic descent coming from that region, who live in Florida, and this song has no title, but this is, if you had to tell me, like ask for a sample of a classic Sephardic Jewish song, this would be it. Let's listen in.
Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800.
Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Harry Schulfenman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have on the line Rabbi Levi Gurkov, Chabad in Long Island, who is digging out, and I don't know what else, floating away from Hurricane Sandy. How are you today, Rabbi Levi?
Baruch Hashem, thanks.
Good. I hope that, I know what you said, we had a little trouble getting you because you're busy right now helping with the cleanup operations, and I really sincerely hope that I'm not causing you to lose battery power in your cell phone, which is probably more needed for more important things than radio interviews.
Well, I can do a radio interview at the good part. Right where I'm standing, I don't know, there's some sort of hotspot that you're able to have reception because I move 5 feet away and I would not have reception. And my car does work, unlike a lot of my neighbors and every right. single person in Oceanside that lost one car.
Okay, you are breaking up a little bit, so you can kind of like wiggle your head to like the right a little bit. Maybe it'll come back in. So you're in Oceanside, Long Island. Tell us what's doing over there. What is the condition on the ground, Rabbi Levi Gurkov? This is not going to work, I think. Let's try calling him back. I will talk. You're going to try calling him back again? Yeah, we're going to hang up on him, and we're going to call back again. Rabbi Levi Gurkov, Oceanside, Long Island, is like was like directly in the path of this hurricane, and from what I understand, it was totally and completely deluged. And like I said, we actually took him away from like being part of a cleanup operation, as they're trying to dig out from under this storm. And it's amazing that the rabbis of these areas are like not only religious leaders, but in this case, community leaders that are helping to put everything together. And I'm looking at my trusty board op to see if we indeed have an opportunity. No, we lost them. Okay, let's go to a song. We'll keep trying to get them back. The song that we're going to play next, I always love winging it on air. This is like, you know, the good old days. Let's see, where's my playlist? We are going to be playing for you next. When I started playing this, my wife, Hannah, who is my co-producer and boss, started saying, yes, you must play this song. This is Schlock Rock, Not Yet on Broadway. And the reason why I'm playing this is because Lenny Solomon actually was scheduled to come to town on Tuesday, come to the United States, to start putting together production of his Broadway play, which is, I suppose, like all Broadway plays, will start off Broadway. And his song is called Daniel in Babylon. We're not going to be playing Daniel in Babylon, but we're going to be playing a song called Gabbai of the Shul. The Gabbai is the guy who's sort of like watches over and makes sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing and gives out the various honors that are given out. Let's listen to Schlock Rock Gabbai on the Shul.
Here comes Moshe, talk of the town. He is the best Gabbai around. If you're a guest or here for a look at his behest, you won't be mistook. Kohen or Levi, or Yisrael like me, he'll make you feel content and at home, cause he's Gabbai of the Shul, keeping things so calm, walking through the gate and you can feel his charm, listens to your tale, quick to refer, offers you some schnapps or a new liqueur, glad to make you a new member, cut you a deal on the price. People who have nothing even get a little good advice. Gabbai of the Shul, see him for your cue. He'll tell you when to pick up Torah 1 or 2. Demeanor's always fine, never comes late. Giving kids their candies is his greatest trait. Never any kind of discord, never will he just pretend. Always has the keys and makes sure someone locks up in the end.
Gabbai of the Shul always tells you why. Every Passover he'll help your matzah buy.
calls him up for sure, makes him feel great. You should hear him say the prayer for the state. Everybody in the Minyan, make sure you've turned off your cell phone.
You're in sight on for Briss's Hill, make sure to get you from your home. End of the year, cast off your load, return to your roots, Teshuvah's the mode. This time isn't fun, it could be much worse, wants to revive your spirit first. Here you're not forsook, here your soul's alive. The important thing in life is to be inscribed. Finding you a chair, giving you relief. If you've got a simcha or you're bent in grief, giving you the source, delivers this and that. And it does not matter if you wear a hat. Presidents will give him welcome. Their pride is that he's on their side. Doesn't take advantage, everything he does is filled with pride. You never will entice, Dvar Torah's very nice. Reads the Parsha every Shabbat at least twice. Comes without a price, never takes a cut. The people get Aliyah's shul is never shut. He can fix all kind of devices. No halacha that he doesn't know. The congregation's pleased and never are deceived. This Gabbai never ran a better show.
Gabbai of the shul always tells you why. Every Passover he'll help you matzah buy. Calls him up for sure, makes them feel great. You should hear him say the prayer for the state. Everybody in the Minyan knows exactly what they've got.
Nobody will tease, they'll think before they get a little hot. I know it seemed...
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Hey, Lisa.
Yes, Amy?
I have a secret to tell you.
What is it, Amy?
I'm having an affair.
Really? Who's catering?
Why, Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering, of course. They're a great value, and their sumptuous menus will just keep you coming back again and again. Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering will handle all your party needs, from dairy or deli trays for 10 or to elaborate weddings for 1,000. Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering will work within your budget. Call 248-661-2327. That's 661-2327, and make your affair a real Micaiah.
Meir Shulfan here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the week of Chayasara, and it is, let me just pull this up. I should have done this, but there's just so many things going on. This is, like I say, hodgepodge radio at its best. We like living on the edge here at the Jewish Hour and have fun doing it. But it's a portion of Chayasara, which starts in, or can be found in Genesis chapter 24. And following. There's an interesting thing about the portion. The vast majority of the portion is a narrative followed by a soliloquy. What is it about? Abraham charged his trusty servant to go find a match. We're talking about shidduchim before and pairing people up. Finding a match for his young son, who at that time was 40 years old, Yitzchak. His mother had passed away. That's the big portion opens up. And he needed to get married. Get him out of the house already, as they would say. There is an entire recounting narrative recounts the whole episode of how he, the slave, swore to the master that he's going to bring back a proper girl, and he's going to make sure that the son doesn't marry somebody he's not supposed to marry, and how he got there, and the whole scenario about how he met this girl at the well, and then the soliloquy starts of the slave retelling this entire affair, starting with the oath that he made to his master and all the way through to the meeting of the girl and coming to the house, repeats it pretty much word for word. The thing that's very odd is that the slave is never identified by name. When he introduces himself, he merely says, "Eved Avram Anechi, I am Abraham's slave." In other words, it's not important who I am. What is important is that there is a job that needs to get done. This is an incredible lesson. Human nature is such that we want to be congratulated every time we turn around. There's a study done, I think, last year. It always amazes me when I hear about studies that seem like really like duh or stupid, and then I'm able to fit them into my divrei Torah over here, my monologues. What does the study say? It says they have this thing now going on in schools, positive reinforcement. As a teacher of little children, I was a participant in this as well. Kid does something really good. You behave today, you get a prize. You did a good job in your reading today, you get a prize. You did really well on your test score, you get a prize. And they want this, like, recognition. What they found out with this study is that then when people who are raised in this way of education, when they come to, like, work, and they're, like, say, flipping burgers or sitting at a desk from 9 to 5, and they do their job the way they're supposed to, well, they're thinking, well, I did what I was supposed to. I'm supposed to get a prize. That really is human nature. It's not just the conditioning of it. Should I say we should take away positive reinforcements in school? No. We should just kind of teach the kids that you don't need positive reinforcements at some point. Just do what you're supposed to do. Which I'm not sure when that was, because I taught high school seniors and they wouldn't do anything unless there was some kind of positive reinforcement involved with it. So I'm not sure where or when. But It's a normal thing for a person to want to receive accolades, to get their name in the paper for all the good things that they're doing, to have their name up in lights. You know, I think that was like some 1930s movie. The guy's whole thing was that he wanted his name in lights for being able to accomplish all the things that he was able to accomplish. And here it is. What we have here is a very important thing. This is not just, you know, some people, one from column A meeting a person from column B. This that we have is the establishment of the promulgation of the Jewish people. And you would think such an important act, the person through whom this act is being mediated would stand up and take a bow and say, "I'm so-and-so." But no. What did this person do? This person said, "Listen, It doesn't matter really who I am. What really matters is that the job got done. That's what's really important. And looking at our patriarchs, it says, Maisa avois simin labanim. The act of the patriarchs indicate how we should also behave. The major lesson over here is that, yes, we are all messengers. We're all on a mission. Our mission is to make the world a better place. Whose mission are we on? We're on a mission from God. And our job to make the world a better place involves utilizing everything that comes into our domain, even things such as studies that show inane things, to somehow, because the Baal Shem Tov said that everything you see or hear, you somehow have to incorporate in your service to God. To somehow we have to find, how is it that we're going to make the world the best place that it could possibly be? Because we know that when that is finished, when we got there, then we usher in the Messianic era, and we live in a perfect world. At that point, none of us are going to be taking bows for anything, because the world's perfect. There's not going to be a need for accolades, because we'll be there already. The point being, the point being, that when we do what we're supposed to be doing, it's not us doing it. We are the slaves, you might say, of the Almighty. There's an expression in Hebrew, Shliach Adam Kemayu, that if a person is sent on a mission, it's not them doing it, but rather it is the messenger, the sender doing it. For example, someone gives you some money and says, could you please go buy this thing for me? And you go into the store and you buy the thing and you pick it up and you walk out the store. Guess to whom it belongs right now? It belongs to the guy who sent you. Even if you were to say, wait a minute, you know what? I really wanted one of these. It's the last one in the store. Instead of what, you know what? I'm going to give him my money instead, and I'm going to pick it up, and I'm going to take it out. And then tell him, sorry, there weren't any more, but I bought one for myself. This sender has legal right, according to Jewish law, to take the messenger to a court of law to be adjudicated that the thing really belongs to him, because in Judaism, things are not acquired by putting down money. If you give somebody cash for something, it's not yours yet. It's only yours when you pick it up. So when he picks it up, since he's there as a messenger for this other person, as soon as he picks it up, it's like the other person picking it up. And so the thing automatically belongs to the other person. There's a real classic example, which actually happened a couple of years ago, that if a person, a groom, can't get to the wedding, so he can assign a messenger to say, give my bride this ring and betroth her to me. And while they're standing under the wedding canopy, the chuppah, the messenger would say, you are married to so-and-so who couldn't get here because I'm putting this ring on your finger. It happened a couple of years ago. There was a major snowstorm in Chicago on a Sunday or Saturday night. And the wedding was on Sunday, and the groom, who was in New York, was going to fly out on Sunday morning to be by his, you know, at his wedding, couldn't not get, the airport was closed. Both airports were closed. He couldn't get there. So they assigned, the guy missed his own wedding. He couldn't get in until Tuesday. He was a happily married man by that point. Talk about weird scenarios. But we are that messenger for God. So when you're doing something good, if you're giving charity, you're helping another person, like in this case of the with Hurricane Sandy, it's not, you want to, the question I raised to Rabbi Silverman, it seems kind of, you know, don't you have to be a trained professional emergency worker to be helping out? And the idea is, well, it's not really you doing it anyway. It really is the Almighty. Because the expression is, Har b'shluchim l'makim. God has many messengers, and help can come through many vehicles. The idea is to align yourself in such a way that you become this messenger for God. And then what happens is you lose your identity, and it's only God at that point. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Are you looking for a dentist that can meet all your family's needs? Dr. Gary Cohen is a dentist that's been serving the community for 20 years. Bleaching, veneers, crowns, dentures, bridges, checkups, extractions, everything. He does it all. Dr. Cohen will see emergencies immediately and same-day appointments always available. Dr. Cohen wants dental care to be affordable. He has interest-free payment plans and takes most dental insurances, including Medicaid, for children. Dr. Gary Cohen provides the highest quality care with the gentlest touch in a relaxing setting. How do I know? Gary Cohen's my dentist. Call Gary Cohen today for a free consultation and smile that shines at 734-422-5480. That's 734-422-5480.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herr Schulfenman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way, go to the computer. I'm assuming if you're listening to this that you have power. Then go to your computer. Go to www.rabbifinman.com, RABBIFINMAN.com. And right there on the homepage, you have a contact link. You contact me, I contact you. Everything's just perfect. What else is on rabbifinman.com? Well, we have archived editions of the show. Things you kind of missed from the last couple of weeks. Did you miss a show 2 weeks ago? Hey, it's up. You know, so even the show from last Sunday, we managed to put up even as before the storm set in. So if you missed it because you didn't get it, you were going to listen on Monday, but you lost power. Oh, no. Well, you can go listen to that show. It's up there, and we'll be up there for another month or so. We have archived editions of the U Parsha and Hasidic U Story, which are video insights into the portion of the week and stories of Hasidic nature. The E Parsha, which is also insights into the portion of Hasidic story dealing based on the portion of the week. That's all there. And, of course, the very important donations page. It is November. And at the beginning of every month, of course, we kind of sit back and wonder, well, this show is listener-supported, and for the last umpteen years already, we have relied on listeners like you to come through with those checks and money orders and cash receipts. We take them all. And credit card donations, too, to keep the show alive for another month. We're living, you know, hand-to-mouth, month-to-month, as the case may be. And did you yet contribute to the Jewish Hour? Could you contribute more? If you have, go to the donations page, click on the page, click on a number. It's all done by PayPal, quick and easy. The whole process could take you less than 30 seconds to do the whole thing. Don't like using computers for handling your finances? I can understand that. Send a check, money, or otherwise, too. The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. And your donation is greatly appreciated. The Almighty will love it that you are helping out this worthy cause, and shower down blessings upon you and your family, God willing. The story, the Hasidic story, involves two tailors. In time of the Baal Shem Tov, 250 years ago, there was two tailors, one named Moshe, one named Chaim. They lived in the city of Vilna. And these tailors weren't exactly what you would say high fashion tailors over here. These guys, they put together schmatas, which is like rags, basically, is what the word means. But schmatas means like low-end dry goods, low-end, you know, just enough clothes to cover a person's body so they could walk outside. Now, how many tailors were there in Vilna? Tons. And therefore, they realized that they were not going to make a living if they actually stayed in Vilna. So they decided they're going to partner up, and they're going to go to towns in the environs that don't have a tailor and do sewing and, you know, that kind of stuff there. And that's how they would eke out their living. And they would go from town to town, and they would, you know, split the proceeds and the profits and whatnot. They came to a certain county. And usually what people would do is itinerants like this, they would go into the local synagogue and someone would invite them home for a meal and a place to stay. The person who invited them in was the Polish slur title was the Mashka of the area. Mashka was the Jewish liaison between the Polish nobility, who were in charge of like levying taxes and whatnot, and the Jewish community. And he was at the beck and call of this landowner, who was called in Yiddish a paritz, and had to do whatever he wanted on his behalf and in relating what his needs were, the paritz's needs were, to the Jewish community. So as they're walking home back to the house, he says, the tailors notice that he's depressed. And he said, what's the matter? He says, well, the paritz's daughter is getting married soon. And he has instructed me to find a top-notch tailor to make a dress for his daughter, but no one's been able to come up with a design that they like. And I said, sounds like a good deal. You know what? We'll take a crack at it. And he looked at him and he laughed and said, you too? You guys couldn't even design a pair of jockey shorts if they had jockey shorts back then. But he said, listen, go give it a try. He gave him the directions how to get there. They knocked on the door. And they were interviewed, and they made their proposal, and describing what the dress should look like and how they'd be able to sew it. So the daughter got very excited and said, yes, that's exactly what I want. And the paritz was able to pay 600 rubles for such a dress. This is an astounding amount of money. And these guys were so happy. The wife of the paritz sees how happy they are that they're getting this money. She says, if they're so happy, maybe they'll be willing to give up some of their money to get the previous Mashka out of prison. What it was is if you didn't do what he wanted, so the paritz would just throw the Jew in jail and his whole entire family and hold him for ransom. And so he said, a good idea. I get some of my money back out of the deal. So he says, how much? He says, told him that there's this Jewish family in his prison and that it would cost 300 rubles for them to get him out of jail. Would they like to use their 600 rubles, half of it, to get the Jewish family out of jail? So they discussed it, and one of them, Chaim, said, I would do it, but it's such a lot of money, and I can't afford to give. It's like taking bread out of my family's, you know, it's like my family versus their family. I'm not doing it. No, I don't want to do it. So this Moshe said, you know what? I'm dissolving our partnership. Here's your 300 rubles. I'm taking my 300 rubles. You go on your way. And they split company. This Moshe then said to the paritz, here is 300 rubles. Release the family from jail. And he went home, back to Vilna, basically penniless. And realizing that he could not afford to feed his family after this endeavor and where it got him, decided to hit the streets begging. He approached a wealthy businessman for some alms. And this wealthy businessman, one of the one percenters in Vilna, said, why should I give you any money? What can you possibly give me? So he said, well, I can give you a blessing. That's all he said. I can give you a blessing. So he said, ha, a blessing from a fool. Okay, fine. Here's some money. Give me a blessing. So he said to him, I bless you that your business today should be more successful than it's ever been. That day, this man had more business than he knew what to do with. And he went and he found this beggar. And the next day, and said, okay, give me another blessing. Give him another blessing. It was more successful. Soon it came to be known throughout the town of the city of Vilna that this man has his powerful ability to bless people, and his blessings come true. The Baal Shem Tov heard about this and had the man actually travel to Mezhibuzh. I don't know how it is from Vilna to Mezhibuzh. And said to him, "Why is it that your blessings work?" He said, "I have no idea." So he said, "Tell me everything you remember about your life from the day that you were born till now." So he recounted it, and he said, "That's it. Where you gave up that money, that is why the Almighty gave you this power to bless. Selflessness. That's it." That's going to do it for the show. We thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week, and hope we see you again back next week. Take care.